All right. Welcome again to H2O Church. You guys doing okay? As we get Am I on? Okay. Sounding weird a little bit. All right. So we are continuing our series on face-to-face on prayer. So we're glad you guys are all here to worship with us and enjoy the service. And if you haven't been here, just to kind of recap where we've been with this series. The first week we talked about the privilege of prayer, of how awesome it is that we get to communicate with a holy and righteous God, and that through the cross of Jesus and Him laying down His life, we have this privilege to enter right in to the courts to be in His presence. And then Tom talked about the purpose of prayer. Sometimes we're not always sure exactly why we are praying, and he went through four different areas of prayer to help us with the purpose of prayer. Then Matt O talked about the power of prayer. Today I'm going to be talking about the pain of prayer, and then next week we'll wrap up this series with the priority of prayer. So I'm really excited to share some personal stories with you today. And as I've been following the Lord, and it's been a blessing to know that there have been very specific things that I have prayed for that I just know God has come through and answered those prayers. And those are awesome times. Those are amazing events in our lives when we are face to face with God and we're crying out to Him and we're praying for something very specifically, and He answers that prayer and it builds our faith, and we kind of feel like we're on the mountaintop, like, man, me and God, there's nothing that we can't do together. My God is acting for me, and it's just an exciting time. But this morning, I want to talk to you about the times where that doesn't happen. The pain of prayer, when you hear a maybe, when you hear a no, or nothing's happening, it's just a complete silence from God. And those are real valley experiences that test our faith. But it's really important for us as Christians to understand these seasons and to understand how prayer works, and that it can be a very painful process. And I want to share some painful things from my life today. So let's jump in and pray and ask God to speak to us. God, we just thank You so much for this time to be together, to sing those worship songs, and to even hear that last song that we just heard. Lord, it says we're hollow, and we need You to fill up our cup. Lord, I can't think of how many hundreds of times in my life when my cup is empty and I feel so hollow inside, so empty with this world and with this life. And I need to come to You, and You come and You encourage us and You help us and You give us that satisfaction that nothing else in this world can give us. But Lord, as we honestly pray before You right now, Lord, there's times when we're hollow and we're empty and we turn to the world. We turn to other things to satisfy us. Probably for most of us in this room, we turn to sinful things more than we turn to You. And God, we ask You to help us with that. Help us to be people of prayer. Help us to be patient in our walk with You, and to be persistent, and to come before You and allow You to satisfy us. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. God, satisfy us in the valleys of our lives when we don't hear You, when prayer is so painful. Lord, would You fill us up at those times? In Jesus' name, amen. There are so many times when prayer is painful, and one of the first ones that I want to talk about this morning is the pain of unanswered prayer. There are times when we are praying for something really good. We know it's God's will. A while back, I don't know if many of you remember this, but we talked about God's general will that He has for all people. As we read His scriptures, there's very specific things that He has for all people. We don't have to wonder, like, does God love me? Does God want me to share my faith? Does God want me to overcome this or overcome that? The Bible tells us very general things for all of us, and we can pray for those things. But then there's also this area of specific will, like, what job am I going to work? Where am I going to go to school? Who am I going to marry? You know, specific things that we pray for, and God wants us to pray for those things too, but we're not always promised the outcome that we think we're going to get. And sometimes we're praying for general things like, God, I really want this person to come to know you. Or I want to be changed in this area of my life. I need healing. And there's times of unanswered prayer that are just very painful. And we're going to look at a verse here in a little bit in 1 Kings 19 where we see this hero of the faith struggling with this. Elijah, who's a hero in the Bible. And just to give a little bit of background before we get into this verse, Elijah wanted the people of Israel to believe in God. That was his prayer. That was his life. That was his message over and over again. It's like, God, would you please help these people just follow you? Stop turning to pagan gods and stop turning to other things. And these people that he was ministering to would just often wander off away from God into sin. And his message and his prayer was emphatic. You can read through that in 1 Kings. He's just like, man, I just really want these people to know the one true God. And the people, even the prophets that were supposed to be on his side, were turning to pagan things. And he was in this war, a literal war, with the false prophets and the false teachers of his day. And the people that loved other things were so mad at him. Ahab and Jezebel, who were very evil leaders, they plotted to kill Elijah. Not only was his prayer not being answered, the very people he loved and that he was praying for wanted to kill him. And he's so discouraged. He's like, man, this is just not what I thought it was going to be like. He wanders off into a desert to be alone. And he's so upset. Have you ever just been so upset you just want to wander off by yourself? You're kind of looking for like a desert. And you just feel like you're in a spiritual desert. That's how he felt. And here's what happened in 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to pick it up in verse 4. Finally, he came to a large bush and sat down in its shade. He begged the Lord, I've had enough. Just let me die. I'm no better off than my ancestors. Then he lay down in the shade and fell asleep. Here is a man so upset. I don't know if you've ever felt this way. He's just begging, like, I just want this to be over. I just want my life to be over, God. And with the exclamation points, we could kind of surmise here that he's yelling at God. He's shouting. He is raising his voice to God saying, this is it. This is ridiculous. I can't live like this anymore. You've asked me to go be this messenger, and now they want to kill me. Would you just take my life? I just want this to be over. And I imagine he just lays down in this shade, and he goes to sleep. He's exhausted. And he would probably prefer to never wake up. That's where he's at emotionally and spiritually. Those are hard times that maybe you've related to. You just feel spiritually and emotionally exhausted. Well, this angel of the Lord comes to him and wakes him up and says, you need to eat something. You have more to do. And he eats something and then he goes back to sleep again. And we're going to pick it up in verse 7. Soon the Lord's angel woke him up again and said, get up and eat, or else you'll get too tired to travel. So Elijah sat up and ate and drank. The food and the water made him strong enough to walk 40 more days. At last he reached Mount Sinai, the mountain of God, and he spent the night there in a cave. At these times of unanswered prayer, God intervenes in Elijah's life. He says, I know you're discouraged right now. You're really disappointed, but it's not over. That can be the most hopeful message to us this morning. Man, when I'm discouraged and I'm in that desert, and maybe you've felt that before, and you need God to just come in and say, it's not over. I know you think it's over. I know you want it to be over. But there's more to do. Get up. Eat. You need strength. Because he wants him to go to Mount Sinai. This was the place where people experienced God's presence. And he says the same to us today. I want you to keep going. I want you to experience me. I know you want to die, but I have more for you to do. I'm going to give you strength to continue on in this way. To pray and to believe me to do something. I felt this way at one of the really low valleys of my life. One of the biggest unanswered prayers of my life was in regard to my dad and my relationship with my dad. And I've shared this story with you probably several times before, but just to kind of summarize that again, after I became a Christian, I just wanted all of my family to experience this relationship with Jesus like I had. And I began sharing and I began praying, and my mom came to the Lord first, and then a couple of my brothers, and it was just a really exciting time. But my dad, he was not quick to believe. I'd say at times my dad was skeptical. He was skeptical of what I was experiencing. He was skeptical of the Bible, and he was skeptical of Christianity. And literally, I prayed frequently for him for over 15 years that he would come to know Jesus and lead our family. I just felt this sense that my brothers, and I have five brothers, I really had this sense that, like, if my dad became a spiritual leader for our family, it would drastically change all of our lives. And even as a son, you know, I longed for that. Every son longs for his father to lead him and to help him in all areas of life, especially spiritually. And year after year, it just wasn't happening. And I was 35 years old, and my mom and dad called and said, "Your dad has a very large tumor in his lungs. He's got lung cancer, and the doctors have given him 6 months to live." Obviously, we were heartbroken. I went and shared with my dad again and just talked to him about what was going on, and he just said, "I just don't know. I don't know if I can believe." And we really poured it on. My whole family were kind of tag-teaming, sharing with him, knowing that this was our last chances to share. And some good and bad happened at that. I really believe that on my dad's deathbed, I was holding his hand when he took his last breath, that he gave his life to Christ. And I rejoice in that he's in heaven. Although I cannot know for sure that happened, I hope and I believe that he did give his life to Jesus. But after his funeral, I remember just feeling crushed. I remember thinking, "God, I poured out my heart to you that he would get saved and lead our family." And it was just truly a death to a dream. A dream that I prayed for hundreds of times. A dream that I had envisioning him sitting us down and just telling us how it was. And when that casket just goes into the ground and they throw the dirt on, you realize the finality of it all. The crushing disappointment. And I was angry, I was sad, I was confused. And I would cry out to God and just say, "God, why? Why couldn't this have been one of those ones you answered in my life?" And there were just so many tears. And I learned through that process that there's lots of reasons why God doesn't answer our prayers. And I could share many of them with you. It would take so long, but just a couple things that God put on my heart is that sometimes when we're praying for other people, they have their own will. They have their own walk with God that they're responsible for. And God doesn't overcome their will to answer my prayers. And when we're praying for people, we pray that this person would change or this person would come to know Christ. And we're praying for others, and we should do that. And I believe that God moves in those situations. But ultimately, every person is responsible on their own to respond to Jesus. Maybe God wanted to answer that prayer in some different way that I don't know. Maybe I'll never know. Maybe in our lifetime, we don't get the answers that we believe we deserve from God. And I went away for a long time. We had this retreat in Colorado. And I felt like Elijah just yelling at God and crying out to God, "Why?" And I was so satisfied in the answers that he gave me. He said, Matt, were you faithful to do your part? Then let me handle this other part. And if I never know the answers to why our family didn't go the way I wanted it to, I'm okay with that. Because I trust God. And I know he's bigger than me and he's got a better plan than I could ever know. But one of the things that God reminded me of was to keep being persistent in prayer. And that's our next point that I really learned from this experience with my dad is it is painful to be persistent in prayer. There is a persistence that God calls us to. And I remember hearing this message many, many years ago, like you're hearing this message today. And somebody said, what do you really want from God? Are you praying fervently for it? And I was like, man, I want my dad to be a spiritual leader for us. And I just started praying that. And every time I saw the clock turn 1, 2, 3, 4, at 12:34, whether it was 12:34 p.m. or 12:34 a.m., I would pray for my dad for over 15 years. And when you make a determination like that, you're surprised how many times you look over and see a clock and the digital thing says 1, 2, 3, 4. You think, I'm going to pray for my dad right now. And I prayed over and over and over again for something that was unanswered. But God wants us to go through the pain of persistence. So for you this morning, a question. What is it that you want? How bad do you want it? Do you have something in your life that God is calling you to be persistent for? You know, you see this picture of this person just yelling with the megaphone to God. What is it that you want? You know, is it something to do with, you know, I want to get married someday. I really want this. I want to pass this class. God, get me through finals. It can be big. It can be small. You know, we cry out to God for our children. For those of you that are in school or jobs or you're having financial problems, maybe it's a healing. Maybe it's something that you want God to change in your life. It doesn't matter what it is. The matter is that you want it. That you want to bring this to God and start being persistent in prayer. And you know, I often wonder, God, why do you want us to do that? Why do you want us to be so persistent? And I believe one of the reasons the Scripture clearly says is he wants us to be desperate for him. And many of us, when we pray, we are not desperate for God. God is our plan C or plan D. And it's like, I'll do this and I'll do this. And if that doesn't work, I'll do this. But if I'm really down and out, maybe I'll ask God. I'll shoot a little prayer forward and maybe God will come through for me. That is not what God wants for us. He wants us to be his number one desperation. You know, sometimes as a parent, your children ask you for things. And I'm surprised at how much my children ask for things. They ask for a lot of things. And maybe when you were a kid, you asked for a lot of things. And as a parent, you're constantly sorting out, what am I going to say yes to and what am I going to say no to? And I know for Mary Lynn and I, one of the things is, well, how bad do they want this? You know, sometimes they'll ask us for something. Hey, Dad, I really want ice cream. I really want a new video game. I really want a new bicycle. And you're like, yeah, maybe you do, maybe you don't. Let's wait a 2 days and see if you forget about it. And that's kind of what we do. Because I don't know if it's just some random emotion. They come in and ask me for the craziest things sometimes, and I'm like, where did you just think of that? And they're like, oh, I just saw a commercial for it on TV. Oh, okay, yeah. You just saw that commercial, and now you're dying if you don't have it. A few years back, our kids began asking us for dogs, for a puppy. We're like, man, we really don't want a puppy. You know, but they just kept asking. And asking and asking. And after their determination and their persistence in asking for these dogs, my wife and I are like, man, these kids really want these dogs. We try to make them forget about it. You know, we buy a goldfish. Hey, that's cool. Look at that goldfish. You know, is this going to work? No, they wanted dogs. And through their persistence, we finally decided, man, let's get these dogs. We went to actually buy one puppy, and we ended up buying two puppies. Don't do that when you're a parent. But it ends up, we love these puppies, and they're awesome. And most of the time, they're a blessing to us. This morning, when they did their business on the floor in the kitchen, no, that's not one of the times that you love your puppies. I'm all dressed up, ready to come to church, and like Bella says, hey, the dogs did their business in the kitchen. Not cool. Not a good way to start your day. But through their persistence and their begging, not the dogs, my kids, we said yes. And that is God's heart. He wants us to be desperate for Him. He loves giving us things. He loves answering our prayers. But He, as His children, He wants to know, do you really want this? Are we depending on Him for it? We're going to listen to a passage about Isaiah 62 here in a video that I just really love. And as I show you this video and you hear some of Isaiah 62, you're going to see a person's prayer of persistence, a person's prayer of desperation. And some of the verses that are going to come up in this video just remind us that even though it's maybe we view it as a negative word to bother God for things, God asks us to bother Him. It's no bother to Him, but He wants that in our minds. No, I want you to pray so much that you actually feel like you're bothering me. That's how much I want you to come to me and to ask me for things. So check out this video about Isaiah 62.
When it comes to prayer, the Bible is very, very serious about it. In fact, you're going to see over and over and over again in the New Testament, this theme began to be developed. And in the New Testament, the Scriptures also acknowledge that prayer is difficult. Paul says, labor with me in prayer. Isn't that an interesting choice of words? Work with me at prayer. It's almost as if the apostle's acknowledging, hey, it doesn't come easy for most of us. So labor with me, work with me, sweat with me in prayer. The Bible says to pray without ceasing, okay? So that amen that we say is a so be it, not an ending to our dialogue with God Almighty. Rejoice in hope, persevere in tribulation, be devoted to prayer. Ephesians 6:18. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all perseverance, with all devotion. Devote yourself to prayer. Be watchful in prayer. Continue in, be steadfast in prayer. Isaiah 62, 6 through 7 says this. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I, God Almighty, have appointed watchmen. All day and all night they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves and give me no rest until He, God the Father, establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. So God loves being bothered by His children so much that He literally appoints people to bother Him. Did you hear it in the text? Give me no rest. Don't stop asking me. Don't stop petitioning me. Don't stop begging me until Jerusalem is established. In this, God's saying, listen, He's saying, bother me. Bother me, pester me, all right? Keep knocking on my door. Give me no rest until I answer you. All right, so this is, once again, the same. Not only has He ordained that we should ask Him, but He delights in the asking.
In this same spirit, Jesus was teaching His disciples how to pray. Imagine Jesus sitting with His disciples. And throughout the New Testament, you know, one of the points they said, teach us how to pray. Jesus, how do we do this? And we can ask that question too. God, how do we do this? And Jesus tells them this story. He says, okay, I'm going to explain something to you of how your prayer life should be. So you don't think, well, I'm just going to ask this one time, and if it didn't happen, well, okay, I guess that was it. And in Luke 18, Jesus says, now he was telling them a parable to show them at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. And here's what he said. In a certain city, this is Jesus telling a parable, there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection for my opponent. For a while, the judge, he was unwilling. But afterwards, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God nor respect man, good guy, huh? Yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. It goes on. The Lord says, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And he will delay, and will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Jesus is explaining to them, look, let's just say there's this unrighteous judge. He's a jerk. He doesn't fear God. He doesn't even respect people. He's going to give this lady what she wants, this widow, because she's persistent. Then Jesus is saying, this is God. This is your heavenly Father. Surely he's better than this unrighteous judge that doesn't care about people. I care about people. And if you come to me and you keep pestering me and you just keep crying out to me, I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to answer this prayer. But you have to go through the pain of it. Excuse me. And I think there's so many times in our lives where we're wondering, what's going on? Why aren't things not working for me? And one of the things that God is saying is, I need you to be persistent. I want you to keep praying. I want you to be desperate for this. The next thing is the pain of unexpected answers. I'm going to do a little spoiler alert for this movie, The Little Boy. I don't know how many of you saw this movie with us. We sent an email out. Excuse me. Sorry, I'm still struggling with my cough here. About this little boy that's praying for his dad to come home. And if you haven't seen it, I encourage you to see it, but I warn you that I'm going to tell you the ending here right now. But this movie really touched me. I cried my eyes out over this movie. If you've seen it, you probably cried. But this little boy is so desperate for his father to come home from the war. And he finds out toward the end of the movie that his dad has died. And if you remember that scene where he's sitting on the dock, where he'd been praying over the ocean for where his father was overseas. And he's just crying his eyes out. His heart is broken. You think, man. And when I was watching the movie, I was like, is this how this movie's going to end? You're kidding me. His dad is dead? And this little boy's heart is so sad. And his friend's trying to explain to him that, you know, sometimes God just works in mysterious ways. And he's dealing with all that. And he finds out later that the toe tags were switched. His dad is not dead. His dad is alive. And his prayer has been answered. And at the end of the movie, he gets to go see his dad there in a wheelchair with all of his bandages on him and hugs him. And it's just a beautiful ending. But you know, that movie taught me, because I really didn't know how it was going to end, that we don't know when we're praying what the outcome will be. But God knows. And that is part of the whole umbrella of this, is that we have to trust when we're praying, God knows the outcome. And if we trust Him, if we love Him, we can live with that. You know, a few years back again, another painful time in my life, my wife and I were really praying for a daughter. Thank you so much. I really needed that. What a great wife. Thank you, honey. My lovely assistant, Mary Lynn. Thank you.
Speaking of my wife,
we had just adopted Dominic. At the time, we didn't believe that we were able to have biological kids, and we adopted Dominic, and we thought, well, we really want to adopt a daughter. And so we started going through the whole process, which is pretty long and extensive to adopt a daughter. And we finally kind of got to the finish line of this woman that wanted us to adopt her daughter. And it's such a long process. It's such a marathon. There's so much money involved, and lawyers and social workers and paperwork and people coming to your house and making sure your house is okay. It's just really a long process, and you're just ready to celebrate when it's over. And so we went to the hospital, and this woman gave birth to a little girl, and we named her Gabriella. And we were just thrilled. We were so excited. We sent out emails to all of our family and our friends. We said, man, rejoice with us. Gabriella is here. And we were taking pictures, and it was just awesome. You know, we were really celebrating. Well, if you know anything about adoption, you know that they have a 72-hour window to change their mind. So we were in the hospital literally 3 days, feeding Gabriella, taking care of her, loving on her, family coming, friends coming and visiting. And at about the 70th hour, a nurse walks in, takes the baby, says, the mom has changed her mind, and walks out. And we are just standing there in shock, heartbroken, tears, and just overwhelmed. We knew in our hearts that mom had the right to do that, and we wished her well, but we went home, and the really painful thing when we got home was Dominic, and he said, where's my sister? We had to tell him, hey, buddy, Gabriella's not going to live with us. And even in his little mind, he was so confused and just didn't understand, and we hadn't really protected ourselves or protected him, and it was so hard. And for weeks we cried. For weeks I was so angry I didn't even want to talk to God. I didn't even dare pray because I was so angry. And any thoughts that came to my mind were just like, God, why do you do this? Why, when we're putting our heart out there, do you choose to just let us be crushed? We've wasted time. We wasted a whole bunch of money. This is ridiculous. And I could not wrap my mind around it when we're walking with the Lord and we're trying to serve the Lord and we're trying to bless this baby, that God would allow us to go through this. And I was just so discouraged. Another death of a dream. Ever since I was even young, I was like, man, I wanted a daughter. Finally, after a few weeks, I went into my office, and I often pick up my guitar to just worship the Lord and kind of relax. And I picked up my guitar, not even really knowing why, and I just started playing a worship song. And I just started singing. And then Mary Lynn came in, and she started singing. And then Dominic wandered in, and the three of us were just sitting there worshiping. And the tears were just flowing. Mary Lynn and I, we just look at each other at times, and there were no words. We just look and cry. There were no words necessary. And as we worshiped there in that office that day, I really felt God speak to me in a very clear way. And he said, do you trust me? I was like, no, I don't trust you. That's a really dumb question. You just totally burned us here. It's like, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Over and over again. It's like, no, God, I don't want to trust you, but yeah, you know I do. I don't feel it right now, but yeah, I trust you. Well, a couple months later, we get a phone call from another social worker, and she says, hey, I have another mom that knows of you guys, and she wants you to adopt her daughter. She's pregnant with a daughter right now. I said, No, I hung up. Too brokenhearted. Another month later, the social worker calls back. No, this woman's determined that she wants you to adopt this daughter. And we said, man, we're just in a real bad place right now. I don't know if we can do it spiritually, emotionally, financially. No, hung up again. The girl was persistent, and she had gone, she lived in Indiana, and she went to Cedar Creek, which is up here in Toledo, which is a sister church or a friend church of ours. And believe it or not, she was sitting there visiting this big mega church on a Sunday morning, and they showed a video about H2O, and we were in this video. And that girl was like, oh my gosh, that's the couple that I wanted to, them to adopt my daughter. So she calls again. She's a Christian, and she says, I really believe, she drops the G-bomb, I believe God wants you to adopt this daughter. We're like, wow, okay, this is significant. So we met this girl, and we just fell in love with her instantly. And we kind of put our heart out there again. She was pretty close to being due, and she was putting all her eggs in our basket. So we said yes to this, and we went down to Indiana in October, and she gave birth to Bella, my middle daughter. And we got to adopt Bella. And man, I mean, my wife and I have said it 1,000 times. Bella is a perfect fit for our family. She's just one of the most amazing little girls that I've ever met. And now when I look up and I'm praying and I remember that time and God saying, do you trust me? It's like, man, God, yeah, I'm so sorry I ever doubted. Because to have Bella as my daughter and to know her and to love her, I would go through all that pain over again without question. That's how amazing she is. That's how much I believe that God placed her in our family. To close this up, sometimes when we're praying and we really want something, God's saying, just trust me. Be patient. You keep praying and just wait patiently for me. And I will do this thing for you. And even if it's not this thing, I will do something for you that maybe you're unexpected, that's unexpected to you, but I will come through. And that's what it says in Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. The psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. I just love this psalm so much. This person was crying, literally crying to God with tears. And he says, God turned to me. He heard my cry. And I just needed to wait patiently for the Lord. If we ever doubt that he hears our cry, this word reminds us that he's hearing us. And we just need to keep waiting. We could be in a slimy pit. We're in the mud. We're in the mire. We feel really stuck with where we are. We don't feel like maybe anything's going to change, and we don't feel any hope. But it says, he lifted me out. He lifted me up out of this place, and he put my feet on a rock. He firmly placed me where I needed to be, and he put a song in my heart. Man, when you're discouraged, that's the last thing you want. But God can bring a song, a new song to you, a hymn of praise. And the last line says it so beautifully. What's the goal of all this? That he may be worshipped. That we might fear God and trust him and know, God, you have this. I was stuck. I was hopeless. But you came through, and we pray that many would see and fear the Lord and trust in him. That's what he wants for each one of us. I'm going to close in prayer here soon. And we're going to have our ushers come forward, because each week we really want you to engage in this series. We don't want you to just listen, but we want to throw out a challenge to you, that this would change you and that you would do something this week. And this week for the pain of prayer, the challenge is, what do you want to see God do more than anything else? Will you pray about that every day this week? Let's, as these cards are being handed out, let's see this video to just remind us of the beauty of a new song. This is from U2 singing about Psalm 40, which we just read. Pray together. Lord, we have things in our lives that we're desperate for you to answer. Lord, I pray that as we think of these challenge cards, that you would bring to mind the thing that we need to be persistent in prayer for. Lord, as I am mindful of what my prayer is, God, would you give me the grace to persevere in prayer? God, would you give me the faith this week and give every one of us the faith and the persistence to believe that you want us to cry out for that thing, to trust you, and to keep praying over and over again, and to wait patiently for the Lord to come through for us. God, I just admit that, Lord, as we pray for these things, we get tired. And just like we heard in that song, it says, how long? How long, God, do I need to keep praying this? How long do I need to keep singing this song until you come through? And God, when we pray that question to you, Lord, I just believe you're going to say, just keep going. Just keep seeking me. The finish line is up ahead, and just to keep running and keep bothering you, keep crying out to you. Ultimately, Lord, we want to be a people that's desperate for you. Not mediocre prayers, God, not a mediocre effort. Not prayer that is plan C. But God, help our prayers to be our plan A. And God, I thank you for the prayers that you're going to answer. Lord, some of them you're going to answer this week. Some this month. And for some of us, it might not be for years or decades. But you're going to lift us up. You're going to hear our cry. And you're going to come through for us. And I'm just so thankful, God. You are a God of hope. You are a God that hears us. So help us to cry out to you this week. In Jesus' name, amen.